Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Roger, we got a roll.
Tower clear.
Roger, roll.
Well, greetings, my friends from all over the world. My name is Maarten Horst, your host, as every week on this beautiful station, BBS Radio Station 2. With my program ET First Contact Radio, to bring you the latest galactic news and all related subjects that have to do with consciousness and awareness, and to make our lives better and to have a good quality of life with all the beautiful teachers that are on every week. And today's guest is Alex Brady. And Alex is a life coach, a motivational speaker, and the author of From Chaos to Clarity. Her work helps clients transform their lives by empowering them with personal development techniques, resources, and processes so they can take action to create and live the life they truly want. Alex founded her company Inspire and Create, coaching and consulting, after 15 years as a corporate research professional, 5 of which as a partner in a prestigious Washington DC firm. Although there were many aspects of her prior career that she enjoyed, she also knew something was missing. As she embarked on her own journey of personal development, Alex realized the reason she felt stuck and frustrated was because she needed her life to be one of she loved living instead of a life she thought that she should be living. As Alex developed her learning, she understood her calling was to assist other people in navigating their life journey. She combines her love of truly connecting with people on a meaningful level with her corporate background to provide a safe, nurturing, and productive environment for her clients. She lives by the belief that we can all find happiness, abundance, and joy, that we can realize our true potential and enjoy success in whatever we choose to do. We just need to discover what we truly want, rather than what we think we should want. Alex earned her bachelor degree at Edinburgh University in Scotland for a dual honours in business studies and French in 1997. She then attained her master's of business administration from Villanova, Pennsylvania in 2001. After many years of living on the East Coast, she now lives in Las Vegas with her husband and their golden retriever, Sunny. When she's not coaching, Alex loves to write, go hiking and boating, and practice yoga. And for more information on Alex and her coaching programs, you can visit her website at www.alexbretti.com. And for her books, you can go to www.alexbrettibooks.com. So, without further ado, Alex, I want to heartfully welcome you to the program.
Hi, Martin. It's great to be here, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. It's really a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, you know, when I do an introduction and I really resonate with people like you, then it comes from my heart, and I feel that I have to put a focus on getting people's attention to what you are and who you are and what you do. And I think it's important to share that with the listeners, that I resonate with you and that I feel that your book is important for them.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's so important that we resonate with one another and that what we're putting out into the world has some purpose. So I truly appreciate that.
Yes, Alex. Well, I myself have been into the world of consciousness and meditation and channeling. People all over the world have been on my radio show. And actually, the last couple of years, I've decided to make my radio program, which was focused on ETs and extraterrestrials, to focus it more on a broader concept. And maybe I have to rename my show. I'm not sure about it, but it still carries the name ET First Contact Radio. However, it has a very broad platform for many things that have to do with consciousness and for people to improve their quality of life. And it's wonderful to be able to offer people information that they can help themselves with to improve their life.
Yes, and I think the title is, it's broad, but that serves a purpose, right? Because there are so many ways that we can raise our consciousness, that we can help ourselves and help each other. Mm-hmm. So I love that.
Yes, me too. And it's important to know that there are many modalities and many ways to achieve a higher purpose in life and to follow what we really want, where, as you said so brilliantly, rather than what you should want. And of course, society is expecting things from us, for many people around myself, in my living environment. There are many people who feel they are expected to do something, rather than to follow their dreams. And I keep telling them, just follow your dream. And so I would like to ask you, Alex, to explain to the listeners when and how it came about to write a book and the purpose of writing the book and where did you get the inspiration from?
Yeah, thank you for that. And I'm just going to give the full title of the book because it will help explain that a little bit. It's From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love. And, you know, for me, I was really stuck in my life. And even though it looked from the outside like I had this great job, great career, you know, I was traveling all over the country for my clients. They were very happy with me. It was very lucrative. It just wasn't fulfilling me anymore. And so I was kind of dying a little more inside each day because I was living this life that I thought I should instead of doing what I really wanted to do. And so I got stuck. I sort of kept on going on because I thought that that's what I had to do. And I think that's true for so many of us. I think so many of us get stuck at some point in our lives. And, you know, I hear that all the time from my coaching clients when I'm out talking to groups. So many people find themselves with these feelings of frustration, anxiety about where their life is headed, and they just don't know how to change it. And so since I had all those feelings, and I got myself through it, I sort of started my own personal development journey and began to understand how to unravel it all. And now as a coach, I help people navigate their challenges. I help people get unstuck. What I wanted to do was essentially write a book that addresses all those issues head on. Like, what is causing you to be stuck? Believe it or not, it may not be what you think. Sometimes it's a little hidden and needs to be uncovered. And how do you get unstuck? How do you take back control so that you can get your life moving again in the direction you want? So I really wanted to write this book so that it would have, you know, a broader reach than just my coaching and help more people empower themselves to get unstuck and to essentially take back control of their life so that they can move it from where it is right now to where they really, truly want to be.
Yes, and I think that's really helpful because I believe that many people are stuck in similar situations all over the world. Is it necessary to meditate? Because you give a couple of advices in the book. Let me get the page that I was looking at. At the end of the book, there are a couple of very beautiful tools that you offer to the reader. Because people have to discover when they are stuck, where they are stuck. So first of all, before we go to the end of the wonderful tips that you give, that I will read for the listeners, how can people realize that they are stuck, and what kind of tools do they need to find out, and what kind of advice do you give in the beginning of the book so that people can discover how they can work on it and find a way to improve their quality of life? But first of all, to find, because I believe you explain in the beginning of the book in a very beautiful manner, how people discover why they are stuck. So the first step, how can people, what kind of questions should people ask themselves, what they should change in their life and why they are stuck?
Sure. Well, let me sort of first address the initial part of your question there in terms of, you know, how does someone know if they're stuck, or what does it mean to be stuck? And most people do know that they are, but because the symptoms show up pretty darn strongly. But to give you some examples and maybe some questions that people can ask themselves to sort of say, am I actually stuck? Does this really apply to me? If your life isn't moving in the direction you want it to, and you're not sure how to change it, chances are you're stuck. If you're living Einstein's definition of insanity, right, which is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, you're definitely stuck. And if you have feelings of, like, if you're burned out, if you're stressed, if you're frustrated, or you've got anxiety, maybe even regret or disappointment, these feelings about your life, or just simply knowing that there must be more to life than what you're experiencing now, chances are you're stuck. I mean, I know for me, I used to wake up in the morning and sort of think, oh, gosh, I got to do all this again. Is this what my life is going to be like for the next 10, 20, 30 years? And the thought of that made me want to get into the fetal position. So if you're having feelings like that, and it may not be about your work, it could be about relationships, it could be about any other aspect of your life, chances are you're stuck. This is kind of a vivid description, but some people have even described their feeling of stuck to me as emotional constipation, that they just simply can't get things moving again. And so if any of that kind of applies to you, you know, a place to start is essentially the mere recognition that change is needed, right? That if you really don't like where you are, guess what? That means that if you want it to be different, there has to be change. I mean, I know that sounds particularly obvious, but we are resistant to change. So sometimes we have to point that out, that there does need to be change. But after that initial recognition is then realizing that we have all the answers inside of us already, right? So here we are, we're stuck. We just wish that someone would come along and fix it, or the big answer to our burning questions would appear, or some situation will change in our lives and that'll fix it all and we'll be okay. No, it's really not about that. It's not about other people. It's not about what they said or did not say, or the things that have happened to us. I mean, yes, those are all experiences and we can learn from them. But we really do, before we do anything else, we have to first acknowledge that we create our own world. We create our own experience. And my book walks you through how to realize that and how to understand why it is all our own creation. Because that can be a difficult concept to wrap your head around when you look at your situation right now and you don't like it. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would I have created a situation that I don't even like? That's nuts. I know I felt like that when I first discovered this concept. But in fact, you did. You did create it. And the book helps you understand why. And here's the key, though. Just because you created that now, it doesn't mean it has to stay that way. And B, here's the good news. You can recreate your life the way you want it. So the way it is right now, you've probably created it by default, sort of just by going along, by, as you said earlier, doing the things you think are expected of you or that you think you should. And you haven't really kind of paused to say, well, wait a minute, what is it that I do want? So you can change that around and make your life, be a deliberate creator of your life instead of creating by default. And so you get to recreate whatever aspects of your life are not where you want them to be right now and change that. And that's really the beginning piece, is having that realization and having that moment where you understand, okay, I really can create this myself. I can take some steps each day and start moving towards what I want.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. That's how exactly how I resonate with it. And there are a few interesting sections in your book about reprogramming. And I think it should be noted that reprogramming, because we are all programmed, you know, in this world where we live in, many people, or actually most people, are victim of, and they play the victim role in the situation where television, media, things that are expected from us have programmed us in a certain way that we should do things and that we should have a job or should do this, should do that. Now, in order to realize that you just explained where the problem is, then we can start to reprogram ourselves. And can you shed some light on this, please?
Yes, absolutely. And and I do talk about it as reprogramming. And I love how you describe that, that, you know, all these different things in our lives put these little programs into us, right? And those programs are essentially in our subconscious, okay? And they become essentially subconscious beliefs that we're carrying around with us. And it is like a program because we're basically running on it, sometimes without even knowing it. And the way I like to explain it, because sometimes this stuff can get very esoteric very quickly, is think of it like a computer. You use the desktop applications and you don't really think much beyond that, right? But underneath all that is the operating system that makes everything work, that makes all those programs run. Our subconscious beliefs are exactly like that operating system. It's the operating system that we have within us. And unless we become aware of those and what's programmed in there and assess, and this is a really important thing, assess whether those beliefs are serving us well, we can stay stuck in place or in a pattern of behavior. And that's really the key, right, is you can have beliefs in your subconscious that are actually serving you extremely well. But then there are the beliefs, I call them limiting beliefs, some people call them self-sabotaging beliefs, but those are not serving us well. And usually they were programmed in at an early age. We probably absorbed them from some other source. Sometimes it's parents. Sometimes it's just a figure of authority, or it's what we heard or saw on TV, we read, whatever it is. But that's not your belief, yet you've been walking around with it for years. And so the process I have in the book talks about how you can, first of all, identify what your limiting beliefs are in your subconscious, and then to assess, are they really true today? Are they really your beliefs? And if they're not serving you well, if they're really not your beliefs and you got them from somewhere else, can you release them? Are you ready to release them? And it walks you through how to do just that, how to release them, and then replace them with new beliefs, your beliefs that you create that are going to serve you. And so the process itself of doing that is really quite simple. But of course, it takes more than just reading through it, right? And it requires a good deal of commitment to actually work through the steps, to do the exercises I've laid out in there, and to have some of that inner reflection. And I know it can be uncomfortable to look at this subconscious operating system, and it can be challenging to release those programs that sometimes we've been running on them for decades. So it does take a little time. You're not going to reverse it overnight. If you've had a belief you've been carrying around for 30 years, yeah, that's not going to disappear in one day. That's going to take a little while to release and replace with something else. But anyone can do it. And until you do, until you kind of unravel what's going on in your subconscious and how it's affecting what you're doing in your life, things can't change. It's only by doing that reprogramming process that you can actually start to move forward and start to really create your life by design.
Yes, because I believe in change, Alex. I believe that every human being has the potential to change and to find learning in what they do. And I believe that the reprogramming section in your book is very important to read. Now, if people are reading your book and making the exercises, it might be helpful to find your help, because I have read in your bio that you are also a counselor and that you give people sessions where they can use your help to go through the processes. So how does that go into play?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, I am a coach. And so, of course, the book is there so that you can read it on your own, do your exercises on your own. But, you know, we're humans, right? So we do like social interaction. And sometimes some of us work a little better, especially with change, because change can be so scary, to work with someone and to have someone helping them and sort of facilitating that process. And that's exactly what I do. I work with my clients to help them move through these challenges that they're facing. And so if anybody's reading the book or wants to reach out, I am actually, as part of my book tour, offering free consultation sessions in terms of how do you get unstuck, how do you get your life moving again. And you just need to go to my website to contact me. It's www.alexfratty.com, and that's spelled A-L-E-X-B as in boy, R-A-P-T-Y.com.
Wonderful. Yes, as I read the introduction of your website, I will also mention it at the end of the program and a few times in the meantime. Alex, if people are stuck in life, where does someone start to know they need to change something? And how are they? Can they be sure where to begin? So how do you teach that in the book? And how can people pinpoint to the fact that they're stuck? And what kind of tools do you offer?
Yeah, so I think usually, you know, if someone's just coming to me for really quick kind of how do I get something, you know, moving again, I know I'm stuck, there's kind of three quick things that I would say are three beginning tips to help someone just get that initial movement again. The first one is to hit the pause button, right? So if you're not moving in the direction you like, you can't just suddenly reverse it. You have to actually slow down and pause first before we change direction. So just it requires just stepping back from your situation, almost like you're a neutral observer of it, and assess it for what it is and accept it. And that, I mean, that's a really important piece. And I know it may sound a little counterintuitive. Well, I don't like where I'm at, so why would I accept it? But in fact, the first thing that you do need to do there is accept it for what it is, because until you do that, you actually can't change it. When you're sort of pushing against it or you're hating on it, you're essentially locking it into place. You're resisting it. And so it continues as it's been. So accept the situation for what it is, but know that, you know, that doesn't mean you're saying, okay, it's going to stay that way. I just accept I'm where I am right now, and I'm pausing, and I'm getting ready to move in a new direction. So that's the first one, is hit the pause button and really assess your situation. The second thing is start identifying what you really want in life. And I know this can be a little difficult. It's a very simple question, what do you want? But a lot of people have a challenge in answering that. Sometimes they've never even thought about it before. But the way to get started on that is look at what you don't want first, right? Because everybody can come up with a big list of everything they don't like in their life, of everything they don't want that's showing up. So start with that. Start with what you don't want, and then use that as a springboard to get clear on what you do want. So if I don't want this, what is it that I do want? And how do I want to feel when I have that? And why do I want to have that? So start getting in touch with what you want based off of where things are right now and what you don't like. And then the third thing is start paying attention to your thoughts and where you place your focus. Because what we say, what we think, what we feel, what we believe inwardly, it all contributes to the outward reality we create. So realize that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you do have the power to create the life you want. And the reason you do have that power is because of where and how you channel your energy and your thoughts. So if you're always focused on the things that bother you, if you're always focused on the things that you don't like, guess what you're going to get more of? The same. So start moving your attention onto the things that you do want and how you want to feel when you have them. Start looking at how those things can become possible for you. And that's what's going to start to show up in your life, is what you're focusing on. So start training your brain or prompting yourself to be focused on the positive and not on the negative.
That's very important, because energy flows where attention goes. And that's,
yes, that's a beautiful way of saying it. That was a very succinct way of saying something. It took me a lot longer to say. Thank you.
Well, it's a beautiful way that you describe it. And I would like people to realize that they can improve the quality of life by just realizing those simple things. And where you focus your attention on, if you focus on what you want, like you'll describe in the book, then this is what you will attract, you know. And you also talk about the law of attraction in your book. Can you shed some light on the law of attraction and the way that you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at its most basic, the law of attraction just means that like attracts like. I mean, it's like a boomerang, right? Whatever you send out there, it's coming right back at you. I mean, some people call it karma. You can call it whatever you want. I mean, that's really the essence of it. It has gotten a bad rap at times, I think, because people feel like, okay, well, fine. So I'll just focus on what I want and then I'll get it. So I can just imagine that I want to have a beautiful house and car. And so I'm just going to think about that, focus on it, meditate on it, and hey, presto, it'll somehow magically appear. That's not exactly how it works. So while the law is very simple, there's actually a little bit more to it. And so that, I think, is why there's been this sort of misconception around it. So, I always like to clarify on this. To me, there's kind of like three parts to it. So, first of all, you have to be very clear about what it is you want to attract. So just wanting a big house or just wanting a nice car, that's too vague. You need to get really specific and have details around what it is you want. So let's say you want a new job. Okay, so what are the hours that you want to commute? What do you want to be paid? Be specific. How many hours per week do you want to work? Where do you want to work? Do you want to work at home? Do you want to work in an office? What kind of people do you want to work with? I mean, I'm talking real details here. That's the first thing. Then we have to make sure our subconscious programming is on board with what our conscious mind is asking for, right? Just as we were talking about what's going on below the surface. So if you are saying, okay, I want this new job, or I want this new house, or I want this new car, if your subconscious has some kind of limiting belief like you don't deserve that, or, you know, rich people are bad, so you don't want to be rich, if you have some of those limiting beliefs going on, then you're not going to get it, because the subconscious is 85% of our mind. It often and nearly always does override the conscious. So if that subconscious is not on board, it's time for some of that reprogramming that we were just talking about. And the third part is we have to be in an allowing space, right? We have to be open to receive what we're asking for to come in various different forms, right? And what I mean by that is not being attached to any single outcome. So again, like taking the example of a new job, maybe there's a very specific company that you want to work for, but if you're only focused on that and you're really attached to like, I've got to work for that company, I've got to work for that company, guess what? You're closing off other opportunities to come to you. So get clear on what you want and certainly set your intention, but then detach from the actual way that that's going to come to you. Maybe you'll get all that you want, but it's actually at a different company. It's not the one that you had set your mind on, but you can still achieve what you want. So it's being open to all that. So those are sort of the three key elements to doing the inner work with the law of attraction. And then the fourth piece, which is sort of, I consider it kind of like the sort of the separate piece, which again, a lot of people miss the boat on this. Guess what? You have to take action, right? It's not enough to just do all that inner work and then decide that, you know, you're just going to sit around and meditate on that, or, you know, sit on the couch and eat bonbons. No, you got to go out and take action. So every day, take a step towards what it is you want. What is the one thing you could do to move you closer to that dream, to move you closer to that dream house or that dream car or that dream job? So as you can see, there's a little bit more to the law of attraction than just, okay, I'm going to think of what I want, and then I'm going to focus on that, and then it's going to come to me. So that's why I think it's, you know, been a little bit abused over the years. But if you truly understand all the different aspects of it, it absolutely does work. And it really, it's always working all the time. It's just whether you're aware of it and can you make it work for you when you're being deliberate about it.
Yeah, I think that's the key, to be deliberate about it and be specific about what you want. And I can give you an example of my twin soul. She was looking for a job, and what happened is that from another unexpected corner, a better job appeared, and she was using the law of attraction to attract her job, and she found this wonderful job that she's very happy with now, you see? So things can come from an unexpected corner.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, the other part about this, you know, when you start talking to people about focusing on what you want, it can be challenging, because the first thing that people say is, well, I want the big car, or I want this job, or I want this house, but how am I going to get it? That all seems so impossible, right? Because we jump immediately to the how. How am I going to get there? But what's really interesting about this work is that if you're very clear about what you want, if you set your intention, if you have that vision and you are placing your focus on it, the how tends to take care of itself, right? Because these other opportunities come into your life. You're essentially, and this is where the law of attraction, the name, comes from. You are attracting those things to you because you're so very clear on what you want and why you want it. And so don't, when you first start doing this stuff, don't get tripped up on the how, because that will trip you up. I totally understand that, and I've seen it happen over and over. Just focus on the why and the what. Like, what is it that you want? Why do you want it? And start placing your energy and your focus around it. And you'll be pleasantly surprised how these things come into your life. They come from some of the most unexpected sources. All of a sudden, it seems like it's a coincidence. Oh, my goodness. You know, I was actually just looking for someone to help me with cleaning my windows. And, you know, lo and behold, you're out walking the dog and you talk to your neighbor and they're raving about a window cleaner that they just hired. Well, wow, what a coincidence. No, that's not a coincidence. You attracted that, and now you have that coming into your life. And it happens with everything that you put your mind to.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful that those things can just spontaneously occur in your life? It's beautiful. And I would like to ask you a next question. Alex, you offer up different tools to use to help create more time and space in our lives, like meditation. But don't those tools actually take up more of our time? Because that's what people think. And I think that what I understand from your book, that by using meditation and by using focused thought, in fact, our time becomes more and more efficient. And but what is the secret about this?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you for asking that, because that is a common complaint. You know, especially using the example that you mentioned with meditation. Oh, I don't have time for that. I got so many other things to do. But, you know, here's the thing about that. The great thing is that those tools do help you become more efficient and more aware of the time we have. So in terms of meditation, just, you know, 5 to 15 minutes of meditating can clear and focus your mind in such a way that it's worth hours of busy doing work. I mean, that, and there's studies out there that are showing that now, that if you just spend 5, 10, 15 minutes meditating in the morning and clearing your mind, getting it really focused, then you're able to go about your day in a much more efficient and prioritized way. And what happens is essentially you're taking the time to just calm and center your energy into a highly focused and productive day. And it stops that monkey mind, you know, that mind where, you know, we're so scattered. I got to go there. I got to do this. And instead what it does is it brings clarity to us. And it helps us really see, okay, what are the important things I need to do? What are the urgent things I need to do? What do I not need to do at all? Right? So it really helps you kind of prioritize in terms of how you use your time. So yes, while on the face of it, the idea of incorporating a new thing into your life that asks for time, in fact, by doing so, you're essentially creating more time for yourself and a much more efficient and productive use of your time as well.
Yeah, that's what I figured in my own life, Ben, when I focus on what I really want. And I see that when I meditate and live my life in, like, not really like go with the flow, but a conscious go with the flow. That's what I mean. That you're actually conscious of what you do, but at the same time to do it in a relaxed way, that you can be guided somehow by the divine, but also by a healthy amount of intellect. You see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I like to talk about that in terms of sort of pushing and allowing, right? So sometimes we're going through life and we may still be doing what we want to do, but we just feel like we got to push all the time. I got to get this done. I should be further ahead. I should be faster. I should be smarter, right? All those shoulds again that we were talking about just a few moments ago. And when you're pushing like that, you're essentially creating a lot of resistance in your life that's taking up your energy, right? It takes a lot of energy to push something. I mean, think about that in terms of a physical sense. It takes a lot to push something. But if you just kind of take a step back, you know, take that time to just calm your energy, calm your center. And then, as you said, I think you used the term go with the flow. Like, yes, you're still getting stuff done. Yes, you're still doing what you want to do. But you're going about it in a much calmer and sort of laser-focused way so that it's not this push, push, push feeling. It's much more of a, you know, you're kind of floating with it or flowing with it, as you said. Yeah, I know that feeling. And there is a real distinction between those two things and how much they're draining down your energy resources each day.
Yes, exactly. I would like for a little drink that we can take during the interview to play some relaxing music for about, let's say, 6 minutes, and then we'll be back with the second part of the show. Is that all right with you?
Absolutely. That would be wonderful to listen to that.
Yes, we're going to listen to Spongel, Once Upon a Time, The Sea of Blissful Awareness. And we are speaking about awareness. And so with the words that we are speaking, I want to emphasize it with this music, Alex. My dear friends, I think that was beautiful music. Alex, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm here. That was a nice little interlude.
Yes, very nice. I took a glass of filtered water. I have a very good water filter here to have very clean water. It's very important to drink enough clean water, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I would like to jump over to the next part of what we're speaking about. We were speaking about consciousness and meditation and how to actually take up more time and to use our time more efficiently. And I want to move over, and it's a very often discussed topic in many radio shows, about raising our energy vibration level. Now, it doesn't mean always to look with a big smiley on our face, but just to be truthful to who we are and what we are and what we feel. So how do you do that, and how do you, what kind of advice can you give to the listeners?
Thank you for asking that, Martin. It's and I talk about it in my book, From Chaos to Clarity. You're absolutely right. It's not about just, you know, putting a happy face on things all the time. I mean, let's face it, we are going to feel sad sometimes. We're going to be angry. We're going to be worried. We're going to be resentful. I mean, our feelings are very valid. And in fact, one of the worst things you can do is, if you're having some of those sort of lower vibrating feelings of like anger or worry or sadness, overwhelm, any of those kind of feelings, the worst thing you can do is actually pretend you're happy and, you know, stick that smiley face on it, you know, because when you do that, you're actually suppressing your real feelings. And when you do that, it means they're getting stuck inside us. And guess what that means? It means you essentially get stuck yourself. You just get stuck in life because you've all these suppressed feelings that are going on in there. So when we have our feelings, we want to acknowledge them, whatever they are. And, you know, sometimes my clients say to me, yeah, but, you know, I've been doing so good and I've been, you know, really positive and I've been focusing on the positive and practicing gratitude. And then I had this day where, you know, it just was bad. I had these bad feelings. I got annoyed. I got angry at someone and they were bad. No, none of your feelings are bad. Okay. No feeling is bad. Now, how you react to it or how you take action on your feeling, of course, that can become something that's bad. But in and of itself, the feeling is not bad. In fact, feelings are our internal GPS. They are our messages to ourselves in terms of what's going on. So when we're feeling happy, when we're feeling grateful, we're in alignment with what's going on in our life. If we're angry, if we're sad, if we're depressed, something's out of alignment. That feeling is really important. And so we want to actually feel our emotions. We want to, you know, allow them to be what they are. And take that moment to understand why we're having that emotional experience. You know, why do I feel upset right now? Or why do I feel so depressed right now? What's going on there? And it's only when we feel our feelings, when we allow them to be, when we acknowledge them, when we kind of analyze them a little bit, then we can make a conscious choice if we want to change them, right? So if I've identified that, you know, God, I'm just kind of like, I'm feeling really down today. You know, I really don't know why. I'm not so sure about it. And just allowing myself to be in that space, then I actually can get to a point where it's like, okay, but do you need to feel down all day? I mean, maybe you feel down because you got up and it's like raining and gray outside and it just wasn't that nice a day to start. Does that mean you have to feel down all day? No, you know what? Actually, I don't. I have a choice. And I can choose to now shift this feeling. But I can't do that if I immediately move to slapping the happy face on it and saying, oh, I don't want to feel down because I know I'm meant to feel happy. I should feel happy all the time. And I'm just going to go to that place. No, that's not going to work. So allow yourself to feel your emotions and realize that all your feelings are valid. None of them are wrong. And we do have to acknowledge them and allow them to pass through us so that we can actually then make a choice to raise our vibration and to move to that better feeling place of feeling happy or joyful or hopeful or courageous, whatever it is.
Yeah, because feelings are indicators. They point to us that we need to change something or that we have to improve a situation or change the situation. Feelings are always indicators for something in our lives that can be different.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, our feelings, they can also, you know, manifest themselves physically as well, right? So, I mean, feelings are called feelings because we feel them in our body, right? We feel sad or you know, we feel angry. But if we are suppressing some of that, it can actually physically send us a signal too. So I mean, I know, so I'll just give you one of my examples is, you know, when I was back, when I was in my job and I was really feeling just so stuck and frustrated, and I physically felt constricted. And the way it showed up for me was, I was always very tight in my back and my shoulders. I mean, I felt like a pretzel almost. And I also, when I was very stressed about situations, I would get very tight in my chest, like really struggle to find a deep breath. And so literally my body was sending me signals because I wasn't even acknowledging the feelings I had, because I would feel like that and I would essentially say to myself, oh, suck it up and get on with it. Like, stop feeling like that. Stop being, you know, a baby about it. Just get on with it and just be okay with it and just grind on through this day and, you know, it'll be fine. Just get this project done and move on. Well, without acknowledging those feelings and recognizing them for what they were indicators to me that I was out of alignment with what I was doing, then my body started to send me signals too. So, yeah, we do have a very effective internal indicator system going on within us, and it can come in different forms to let you know what's going on.
Yes, exactly. Beautifully said, Alex. Now, there's another question that comes up in my mind right now, is how we can find a balance between physical action, like sports, emotional balance, and not to be too much in our head with thoughts that circle around in circles and circles and circles. So what kind of practices do you advise to people how they can find a balance between those three?
Yeah, I love that question. That is such a, and you make such a great point. Balance is so important because we are holistic beings, right? We're not just all about work. We're not just all about play. And it's the same kind of thing with what you were talking about. You know, we can be all up in our head and not listening to our heart, or we can be all heart and not listening to our head, right? And then, of course, you mentioned the physical too, right? Getting some exercise, having some fun, right? Playing some sports or whatever it is, whatever physical activity that actually sort of makes you feel alive. And so I do think there is a need for balance, you know. And in my book, what I have exercise in there to help people look at that holistic sense of themselves, essentially taking all those different aspects of your life, right? So emotional, spiritual, community, career, finance, family, friendships, all those parts of your life, and looking at, you know, what's going on right now? What do I like? What do I don't like? What do I want to have? And starting to be aware that we have all these different parts of ourselves and how we can find that balance. Because if we close ourselves off, we essentially are shutting down key parts of ourselves. And I know I did that for years. I was in my head so much. I was always trying to figure things out. I was essentially, like I said, ignoring my feelings. And I basically put myself, I almost operated for a decade on autopilot in this career that was actually, you know, draining me mentally, emotionally, and physically. And it wasn't until I started to wake up these other parts of myself, my heart, and the other different aspects of my life, that I started to realize that, gee, I can have more. And gee, I want more, too. It's not enough just to, like, work, 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 and not have these other aspects. So I do think there's need for balance, and we listen to our heart. We listen to our feelings and our intuition. That's all hooked into our heart. What do we really want? I think you said it at the beginning of the show, but sort of following our dreams instead of what we think we should do. When you find yourself thinking you should do something, that's your head talking. That's not your heart. So what is it that you feel you want to do? What is it that's in your heart? And then, yes, of course, we use our head to take action, to find the logistics around something, to plan things, right? I mean, that's sort of our left brain coming in and sort of that day-to-day functioning. Of course, that's our brain. So we need both, and bringing in that physical exercise too, whatever sort of brings you that aliveness feeling. And yes, so I think, yes, balance is key, And also, if you work through some of those exercises in my book where it shows you the holistic nature of your life, that helps you bring it into focus more so that you realize, okay, things are really great over here, but boy, you know, it's not so hot in this area. And so maybe I want to focus a little time there and bring something else into my life. So all of that is in my book, From Chaos to Clarity.
Yes, wonderful. Yeah, I really feel that everything that you're saying and that you've written in your book is helping me in a very strong manner. And a question that came to my mind here is that names like Wayne Dyer and Tony Robbins and Louise Hay, I personally think you belong in the same row, but if people never heard of you, the question here is, why should they buy your book from a relatively unknown individual? I believe it's not important because I think it's important that you are getting known via this radio show. And I believe the elements in your book are as well covered as in the books of the other authors that I mentioned here. So can you clarify that?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for, first of all, thank you for the wonderful compliment of comparing me to those amazing people, because of course, you know, Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer, Tony Robbins, I mean, those folks are wonderful. And of course, rest in peace, Wayne Dyer, but of course his work lives on, will live on forever. And all of them are terrific. And as you say, they're tried and tested, and they've been working in this personal development world for a long time, and of course they know their stuff. What I bring to the table, I believe, is a new perspective on the personal development journey, as well as a proximity to knowing and understanding that feeling of being stuck and all those emotions that go along with it. So these other folks that you mentioned, while they've been doing this for a long time, they haven't been stuck for a long time, right? They have been on their journey of enlightenment for many years. And so they're no longer quite as familiar with the pain and frustration of living like that, of feeling stuck, of feeling frustrated, of feeling burned out or stressed. And I do. It's not so long ago that I was there. So since I've been there fairly recently, it's a little bit more relatable. And I've had readers talk to me about that and clients too, that you know, they like the fact that they can, their story is so similar to mine, and because I've been through it just so recently and kind of unraveled it all and figured out how do you get moving again when you are stuck, they find that very helpful and really powerful. So I would say that's kind of the big difference and why someone might want to buy the book from me who, yeah, I'm still a little bit unknown. I set the intention right now and send it out to the universe that one day I will be as well known as Louise Hay or Wayne Dyer or Tony Robbins.
Yeah, the purpose of these radio shows is to get you known. But also the name From Chaos to Clarity, I think is when people see this title of the book in the bookstore or on Amazon on the internet, it will get their attention, because many people nowadays are in these similar situations where they want to get out of this chaos into clarity. So I think the title only is very attractive. And secondly, what you write and what you say is to the point. And people need tools. They need very practical instructions, in a very clear language, in today's world. And I think that's exactly what you provide. So
thank you, Martin. That's, you know, that makes my heart sing to hear that, because when I set out to write the book, that's essentially exactly what I wanted to do, was be very clear, be simple. Not that what I'm saying is simple, but to have it in simple format so that it's very accessible. And that it's really, it's quick and easy to understand, right? You don't have to wade through, pages and pages of sort of theoretical concepts. It's very accessible. And importantly, there are those tools and resources in there. So it's not just me telling my story. Yes, that's parts of it are woven in between, but it's really about the reader and what the reader can do so that they can get themselves unstuck. So thank you. That's a wonderful compliment. I'm glad that it is reading in exactly that way, that it feels accessible yes. and very much on point.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy to get unstuck and to get through all those steps that people have to go in their lives to get unstuck and to get out of chaos into clarity. The process is where they need help with, so they can consult you then, of course. But of course, the whole idea of improving your life is something that people should do the work themselves. It's one thing to buy a book and read it and then put it on the couch and forget about it. No, it's very important that when you read this book, that you use it and that you are aware of it and make the steps to improve your life by following your intention. And I think that's very important. It's not just reading the book. It's just when you read the book, feel it. And I think it's important distinction that people should make by when they read a book about improving their lives from whatever author, it's very important to feel what you read and to do something with it. And I think that's the key of using this beautiful book from Alex Brady, is to take action in your life when you want to improve it. And so that's what I want to say. It's very important, Alex.
Yeah, I think you make a great point, right? Because the steps and the processes that I have in the book are, you know, pretty darn simple in terms of getting unstuck. But, you know, then sort of the natural question is, well, if it's so simple, then why are people stuck? Why are more people not unstuck? Well, it's what you're talking about is, you know, the challenge comes in working through the steps and the processes, right? You get unstuck means, you know, doing some of that reprogramming, right, that we talked about earlier on our limiting beliefs, our deeply held beliefs, and it means shifting our perspective on how we approach different people and situations. And most importantly, it means dealing with our innermost emotions. And those things can be scary. And a lot of people are fearful of any kind of change. And that's exactly why they stay stuck, right? If I'm so scared of change that it actually paralyzes me from making any change, then by definition, I'm going to be stuck where I am. And so that's why, the book can be so helpful, because it walks the reader gently through how to deal with all those, the new ideas, the concepts, and the processes. It's like, work through it with me and gently go through some of that change and some of those processes.
Exactly, because there's work to do. When you read this book, it means that there's work to do for everybody, even if you call yourself an enlightened soul. Now, there is another introduction about the book. Is to embrace the present and the future whilst being open to all possibilities. Now, that's something very important, the present where we live, the now moment. If we totally feel at peace by who we are, love ourselves, and are totally acceptable about the situation, then all possibilities in the future lie open to us. Could you share some thoughts on this beautiful phrase?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to bring in another element to it, which is the past. Because, you know, when we're talking about the present and the future, nearly always it's because of the past. And what I mean by that is people get stuck in the past. They replay all those old situations, or he said, or she said, or he should have done this or done that. And when we're in the past, we are stuck. And the thing about the past is you can't change it. You have zero control over the past. It is done, finished, let it go. So that leaves you with the present and the future. And the future is what yet's to come, right? It's what you can create if you put your mind to it, if you accept that you have control. And that then puts me back to the present, which is until you accept that you are the person who can make the change, that you are the person who has created your life up to this moment. Until you accept that, until you accept where you are right now, even if you don't like it, only then can you go about creating the future that you want. If you don't accept that in the present, if you kind of just keep looking outside of yourself or, you know, blaming it on, well, you know, I could have had my lucky break, but such and such got in the way, or, well, I'd be further ahead, but I know this person held me back, or, you know, all these other things. I mean, we can all blame, we can all point the finger of blame and say, coulda, woulda, shoulda. But it's really about us. And until we accept that, until we say, yes, I am responsible for my life, I'm responsible for where it is today. Even if I don't like it, I'm still responsible. I made choices that brought me to this place. Then I can say, okay, well, since I'm now squarely in control of my life, since I'm accepting full responsibility for my life, guess what? I got good news. I can now take responsibility for the future. I can know that I am making choices every moment, every day, that are essentially creating my future, that are going to bring me my future. So if I'm responsible and I'm in control, what are those choices I want to make? What is that future that I want to have? So it really is about you and your choices and you taking back control rather than blaming it on other people or looking to other people to come along and provide the solution or the answer for you.
That's really beautifully said. I think that is one of the key lessons of life for many people to know. I think this should be put into a commercial on many commercial radio stations, just the 2 minutes that you spoke, the last 2 minutes. Really.
Thank you.
That's what people can help, you know. Now, I want to go to the next step, Alex. By the way, my name is Martin Horst, and we are transmitting live on BBS Radio Station 2 with my program IT First Contact Radio. And my guest is Alex Bretty, and her website is alexbretty.com. And her book that we are discussing is called From Chaos to Clarity. And you can find her book on Amazon.com or on alexbrettybooks.com. So, Alex, in the last 20 minutes, I want to discuss with you how we can clear our mind and find space and time to create the life that we want. Can you please elaborate on this?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, creating space, creating time, a lot of it is your mindset, right? So when I talk about space, I literally mean space in your mind, space in your heart, so that you can open up to these possibilities. And, you know, some of the ways to do that are, we talked about this briefly, is starting the practice of meditation. It does help clear the mind. It does help bring very clear focus to what you're to be doing and give you that efficiency to move through your day. And there are other ways to do it too. I mean, very simple tools as well that can help you open up and sort of find more time in your day. I mean, one simple thing is, and people always look at me funny when I say this, but no is a complete sentence. When we're very clear on what we are want to do, when we're very clear on what we want to achieve or who we want to be in life, then we are better able to say no to certain things. And that, again, may sound, you know, a little counterintuitive. What do you mean I'm meant to say no to things? I thought I was meant to say yes. I thought I was meant to open up to possibilities. Yes. But what I mean by saying no is essentially getting clear on how you're spending your time each day. So think about just a regular day for yourself. You're so busy. So many of us are. We have so many demands on our time, so many requests. And a lot of us end up saying yes, 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 yes. You know, partly because we feel obliged, or maybe we feel we should do something, or we're expected to do something, or we got to prove that, you know, I'm a really good friend if I do this. But here's the thing about saying yes to everything. You become overwhelmed. you don't have any time left for you. And if you have no time left for you, then how are you going to make some of these changes in your life? How are you going to get clear on what you want? How are you going to get clear on the choices that you want to make to create that great future for yourself? So you want to assess all these things that you're spending your time on and get really clear about, is this a yes or is it a no? Do I want to actually do this? And am I doing it because I want to and I feel that from my heart, or am I doing it because I should? And I talk about this in the book and actually lay out like a whole process for how you can determine, you know, when you should say no, how to know if you should say no, and also how to deliver that in such a way that, of course, you don't harm your relationships. But once you start saying no to certain things that are just not a priority for you, they're not helping you get where you want to go. In fact, they could be holding you back. You can, I mean, it's a very practical way to do it, but you start to create some time for yourself. And it's only if we have some of that quiet time that we can do this reflection on what do I want my life to be? Where do I want it to go? So, I mean, those are just a couple of the things that I have in there. And so some of them, you know, like the meditation, that's more sort of inner work and it can be spiritual. Saying no is a much more sort of pragmatic thing to do. And so that's what I try to provide in this book, is kind of a range of different tools and resources, from the very practical, the very accessible, to, you know, that little more esoteric if that fits with you. But there are lots of different things that you can do to try to open up space and time for yourself. And the key is, it's for yourself. And it's not selfish to have that time. It's not selfish to be thinking about what I want. In fact, self-care is necessary. You know, if you think about any time you take a flight, there's a reason that the flight attendants tell you, in case of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before helping others. Even if it's your child, you know, your parent, put yours on first, because you're no use to anybody else if you don't have your own oxygen. And it's the same thing in your life. Until you start to have that self-care, until you start to really look at what you want, you're really not going to be serving anyone else particularly well. And you're not going to be showing up as the best version of yourself. So take the time, you know, to essentially create that space and time for yourself to get really clear on what you want and move towards it, because it really truly is the best thing you can do for yourself and also for everybody else around you as well.
Beautifully said, because if we can say no, and if we are able to say no in a nice way, then, you know, guess what? The quality of our life starts to improve. And because first we need self-care and self-love to embrace ourselves, because somehow in our education system and in the past, our grandparents and their parents, it was always required from people to serve. But in the first place, we have to put on that oxygen mask and to serve ourselves in order to have quality time with ourselves and with others. It's so true what you say. Now, Alex, I want to move on to one of the last questions in this interview. It's to identify what we really want, what you really want as a person, anybody, your calling and your higher purpose. And then I want to move on to a very open question. But I think the answer you gave before, to say no, already will help. Because when you have more time and space for yourself, more quiet time, then you can identify and think about what you want. You will start to feel this feeling of your desires will come to the surface, whilst when you are all the time busy with other people and not able to say no, you are flooded with energies and thoughts from other people, what they say, and you don't really feel what you want. But what are the tools advices do you give in your book so that people can know what they want and find their calling and their higher purpose?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me take a moment just to, you know, clarify what the, you know, a higher purpose or a calling is. Because sometimes we use, you know, this language in this world, and sometimes people aren't that familiar with it. So, like, having a higher purpose or a calling is essentially just knowing there's something greater to your life that you're meant to be doing. And often it means helping others or giving of yourself, your time or your resources in a way that can contribute to the world to make it a better place. And that can come in any form, right? It doesn't have to be what you do for a living. It can be a hobby you love. It can be volunteering. It can be getting involved with a charity or a cause that, you know, you feel passionate about. So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about higher purpose or calling in the book. And in terms of just starting to take steps to get there and getting clear on what that higher purpose is, I mean, one of the first things is to get very clear on what you want yourself, okay? Because until you start doing what you want, you're not going to serve anybody. You're not going to actually find your higher purpose. So, you know, don't start from that place of, okay, I must go forth and serve people. You know, because as you said, it's not really, it's counterintuitive. No, you actually got to start with what you love to do, what makes your heart sing, what just lights you up inside. And as you go do that, then you actually are serving other people, right? You actually do end up contributing to the world in a really wonderful way, because everybody has unique gifts and unique talents. And we're all here for a reason, for that higher purpose and to contribute that. So getting clear on that is sort of the first step. So as I mentioned earlier, if you don't know what you want, if you're not clear on that, start with what you don't want. Make that list. Start making a list of all the things that you don't want or you don't like in your life. And then pivot from that into what you do want. Okay, look at that. And in my book, I actually break that down into those different parts of your life and having those lists within the different parts of your life so that you can really get some crisp clarity around this. And then the next thing to do is kind of look at, what are the skills that you already have? What are the talents that you have? What do you really enjoy doing? I mean, even if you're in a job that you hate right now, there's probably part of the job that you actually like. Or there are certain roles or tasks that you do in your job that you really like. Look at all of that. Because as you bring all that forth and look at that, there starts to be these sort of emerging themes, things that you really enjoy doing, things that really light you up. And you start to see a pattern emerge. And the book shows you how to do all that, how to lay all that out. You know, it actually provides even the chart to do this. So that it's really simple and guided. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big. What your calling is, what your higher purpose is, it doesn't have to be something enormous. You can start each day in terms of thinking, okay, what's the one thing I can do that can move me closer to what I want to do, to what my dream is in this particular part of my life? And what I mean by that is, you know, you can literally spend like 10 minutes a day looking at this, right? Doing some inner work, looking at what you want and taking an action around that. And the action may not be, oh, I got to make like 20 phone calls on that today. Maybe the action that day is to do some exercise so that you are energized to then go do what you want. Or maybe it is to meditate so that you're clear in your mind and in your intentions of what you want to set out to do. So just start with where you are and what you have. Don't look at this as sort of, oh my gosh, it's so impossible. How can I possibly get there? No, just start painting this picture for yourself of what you want, what you love to do, the skills and the talents that you already have, and start looking at that and taking some actions that help you align with those things in your life. And here's the one that I love. Start thinking about, what would I do if I didn't believe it was all impossible? So say, you know, once you look at what you want, once you look at what your dream is, once you look at some of the skills and talents you have and you actually say, well, I don't know that any of my skills and talents actually help me get what I want. There's such a huge gulf between what I want and where I am right now. If that's what happens when you make those lists and you look at that, then ask yourself, what would I do if it all didn't seem so impossible? Because the answer to that question that's the one thing you can do today to start moving towards it, because it starts shifting your mindset and it starts putting you in that, oh, what is possible? You know, sort of tricks your mind into then going to that place where it is possible to get to your higher purpose, to serve in a way that really lights you up and really can contribute to the world in a better way. So what would I do if it wasn't so impossible? And go do that thing today. And go do it again tomorrow. And see how the little things start to add up as you inch closer and closer to what you want.
Well, this makes my day. This makes me happy and hopeful for so many people, because I think many people can be helped by this book, From Chaos to Clarity. My guest is Alex Bratty, and you can find her book on Amazon.com or on alexbrattybooks.com. Now, Alex, before we close up, I want to ask you, if you can answer from your heart, what you wish for humanity and the world. Because if you look in the situation we are right now, I do have beliefs and hopes that we can be helped and can be saved. But what is your wish for humanity?
Oh, what a wonderful question. My wish is that we do find some peace. And I mean that on multiple levels. I mean that within ourselves. And I mean it on, you know, all the way to the global, level, because of course, I mean, there are so many conflicts going on in the world. We are inflicting pain on one another. And at the end of the day, we are all humans. We are all human beings. And my hope is that we can find peace within ourselves and raise our awareness and raise our consciousness of what we're all capable of. Because each and every one of us, we have the answers inside us, what we want to do. We have it in our hearts to serve in the best way possible that we can for ourselves and for other people. And if we can raise our consciousness just within ourselves, right? If we do this inner work ourselves, each and every one of us, then it actually, on a global level, it raises all of us, right? Because as you mentioned earlier when we were talking about energy, and our feelings and sort of the energy that we vibrate with and what we place our focus on. If we're individually raising our energetic vibration, raising our awareness, raising our consciousness, then that impacts other people. It inspires other people. We are spreading that energy. We're emitting that energy out into the world. And so it starts to bring more positive energy into it. So, you know, all these things where we're like, we're fighting drugs, we're fighting war, we're fighting, crime, we're doing all this. When we do that, we're actually putting more focus on it. We're fighting crime. It's like, well, okay, then crime is the focus. No, we need to focus each individual on ourselves, raise our awareness, open our heart. And that is what's ultimately going to have that global impact. When more and more people are able to do that, more and more people are able to awaken their consciousness and raise their vibration.
Beautiful. I totally agree with you, Alex. And I wish you every kind of success with your book. And I'm sure it's going to help many people all over the place, all over the world, from chaos to clarity. Alex Bratty was my guest. Thank you, Alex. I wish you much love with your husband and your beautiful pet. I just looked on your Facebook page. I don't know how I can befriend you, but I just will send you a message there. And I want to thank you for being on. It was really amazing to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Martin. It's been a great show, and it's really my honor to be on it. So thank you for having me as your guest.
Much love to all who are listening from all over the world. I'll be back next week with Jose Bazan, who is often here on Saturday. I wish everybody a wonderful weekend. And thank you again, Alex. And love and light.
Thank you.